We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 28, entitled Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service, Text 22. Yatscho cha nisrita sarit pravaro dakena tirtena murtne adikritena shiva shivobod. Is there something on the board? Good. Jaturmana samalna saila nishista vachram jayetschiram bhagavatas charanaravindam yat. The Lord's lotus feet. Sucha. Washing. Nishrita. Gone forth. Sarit pravara. Of the Ganges. Udakena, by the water. Tirtena, holy. Murni, on his head. Adikritena, born. Shiva, Lord Shiva. Shiva, auspicious. Abud, became. Jatu, of the meditator. Manaha, in the mind. Samalasaila, the mountain of sin. Nisrista, hurled. Vajram, thunderbolt. Wow, that looks really fresh, huh? Full of vitamins and vigor and strength. Translation. The blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy waters of the Ganges, which has its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's feet act like thunderbolts heard to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. Purport. In this verse, the position of Lord Shiva is specifically mentioned. The impersonalists suggest that the absolute truth has no form, that one can therefore equally imagine the form of Vishnu or Lord Shiva or the goddess Durga or their son Ganesh. But actually the Supreme Personality of God is the Supreme Master of everyone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5.142 it is said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna or Sabhabritya. The Supreme Lord is Krishna and everyone else, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, not to mention other demigods, is a servant of Krishna. The same principle is described here. Lord Shiva is important because he's holding on his head the holy Ganges water, which has its origin in the foot wash of Lord Vishnu. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, it is said that anyone who puts the Supreme Lord and the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, on the same level at once becomes a prasandi or atheist. We should never consider that the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the demigods are on an equal footing. Another significant point of this verse is that the mind of the conditioned soul, on account of its association with the material energy from time immemorial, contains heaps of dirt in the form of desires to lord it over material nature. This dirt is like a mountain, but a mountain can be shattered when hit by a thunderbolt. Meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord acts like a thunderbolt on the mountain of dirt in the mind of the yogi. If a yogi wants to shatter the mountain of dirt in his mind, he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal. Because the dirt is accumulated like a solid mountain, one must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for quite a long time. For one who is accustomed to thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord constantly, however, it is a different matter. The devotees are so fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord that they do not think of anything else. Those who practice the yoga system must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time, after following the regulative principles and thereby controlling the senses. It is specifically mentioned here, Bhagavatas Charanaravindam, one has to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Mayavadis imagine that one can think of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or the goddess Durga to achieve liberation, but this is not so. Bhagavata is specifically mentioned. Bhagavata means of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu and no one else. Another significant phrase in this verse is Shiva Shivo Bhut. By his constitutional position, Lord Shiva is always great and auspicious, but since he has accepted on his head the Ganges water which emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, he has become even more auspicious and important. Distress is on the lotus feet of the Lord. A relationship with the lotus feet of the Lord can even enhance the importance of Lord Shiva. What to speak of other ordinary living entities? So a number of points are being made. One is that the demigods are never to be considered to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Lord Krishna is the origin of all the other manifestations, all the other personalities, all everything and anyone depends on Krishna. Ekala Iswara Krishna Orisabhabhritya. So, it is important to establish this point again and again, because we are faced, sooner or later, in the course of our preaching, we'll come across opposition. And unless we are studying the arguments, we will not be able to first of all convince ourselves and then convince others. We may have heard from Srila Prabhupada very clearly that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and all the demigods are just dependent on him. But we see that there are others who are having all kinds of logic and reasoning why Lord Shiva is the Supreme. And it is not that we are so firmly fixed in faith that our faith cannot be shocked and distracted by false arguments. Therefore, we should thoroughly understand, and therefore we can read Ekala Iswara Krishna Ora Sababhritya, as it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Bhagavad Gita also establishes that worship of the demigods is for the less intelligence. So in this way, there is plenty of proof that is being made about the dependence of the demigods. Therefore, devotees are not so concerned with the demigods. We must be careful to not introduce gradually some demigod worship, such as, for example, the worship of Ganesh, to remove obstacles on the devotional path. There is no need for such worship, because all the obstacles can be removed directly by the Supreme Lord. It is said that Gornitai are also described as Vikna Vinasan, as those who are taking away the obstacles on the path of spiritual life. So there's no requirement to take shelter of the demigods at any time. Still, we see at times that devotees, under the influence of the remnants of Vedic culture, which is referred to as Hindu society, also begin to worship Ganesh. Srila Prabhupada was not in favor of this. And when Guru Kripa specifically requested Prabhupada permission to do so, Prabhupada said that you can do so if you can donate. Guru Kripa was collecting. He said, if you can give $100,000 a month or something, then you can do so. But he couldn't do that. Right? There was no way. That was way beyond what he was collecting in those days. There was no question. In other words, it meant no. There's no doubt about it. Prabhupada clearly said no. And that supersedes any mention that one may find in the Nectar of Devotion, right, where it is mentioned that Ganesh can be worshipped for those who like controversy and doubt. It should be understood that the instruction of the Acharya is even more important than the than such an injunction in a scripture. Sometimes, according to Kaladesha Patra, the Acharya may give an instruction that is slightly different from the scripture. This is not a deviation. It is not that the Acharya is changing the main focus that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that devotional service to Him is the goal of life. But the Acharyas said, Mat anya devas rainai, Narottam Das Thakur said, do not take shelter of any other demigods. Right? Because especially in the age of Kali, there is a lot of opportunity to become distracted from the worship of the Supreme Lord. It is also mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj needed purification. That somehow or other Parikshit Maharaj, as a king, as an emperor of the world, had to perform some karmakanda sacrifices and worship the demigods just out of social practice and obligation as a king, and that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami purified him from any possible contamination that he got from that. So one should not underestimate the risk involved in even ritualistically worshipping the demigods, because the nature of the soul is to develop attachment, and that attachment should always be directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya Shaktamana Aparta Yoga Union Matasrayaha. That is the instruction of Krishna. In that way, Krishna consciousness is very simple, and it is best to be kept simple. So we see that Lord Chaitanya offered respect to Lord Shiva. At times he visited some Shiva temples and offered respect to the deity. So we can also respect the demigods, and nonetheless it is not required that we are separately worshipping Lord Shiva. We can simply suffice by worshipping Lord Krishna. What was the second point? Yes, the mountain of karma. It is said that the thunderbolt on the lotus feet of the Lord has the power to smash the mountain of sinful reactions that are stored within the heart. Aparabdha phalam papam kutam bijan phalam mukam kramanaiva paliyata vishnu bhaktira tatmanam. That it is explained that there is a whole stock, a mountain of sinful reactions within the heart, and this is called Aparabdha karma. These sinful reactions have not yet manifest. Some may manifest, or others may just lie there in the heart. From this stock, the seed of new sinful activities manifest, which lead to sinful activities, which increases the stock. And in this way, it seems almost impossible to overcome material desires. But the lotus feet of the Lord are the shelter by which this stock can be very quickly shattered. So we find that this service to the lotus feet of the Lord is described as Padasevanam. Padasevanam is described as direct personal service to the Lord and also to the Tadiya. It is said, Aradhanam Sarvesam Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That Lord Krishna is the, or Vishnu here, is described as the most worshipable entity. Right? So Lord Shiva is also speaking that verse. And then it says, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, the Tadiyya are even more worshipable. So amongst these Tadiyya includes the paraphernalia of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord. It includes Tulasi, it includes the Ganges. It says, there is even more mercy by worshipping Tulasi, by worshipping the Ganges. So therefore, it is indeed a fact that Lord Shiva became very, very auspicious by worshipping the Ganges, by worshipping the Tadiyya. Because if one worships what is dear to the Lord, one automatically attracts the Lord. Prabhupada said, if you are kind to the dog of a great man, then you'll get his kindness and mercy. So, this is the way that we can attract and connect with the mercy of the Lord. Krishna has distributed his mercy throughout the universe in so many ways, and that is his kindness. So, the paraphernalia of Krishna are very important. It's intimidating. Okay. I will tell them, whoever is there. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are his servants. But tadiyanam samarchanam, the only way we can truly please Krishna is by becoming the servant of the servant, 100 times removed. So we see that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict about this. When Jagannanda Pandit tried to instruct Sanatana Goswami, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very upset with Jagannanda Pandit. Right? Although Jagannanda Pandit was an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who got so much personal world. I want to tell you that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. At this point of Jagannanda Pandit, who tried to instruct Sanatana Goswami, although Jagannanda Pandit was an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still he was junior to Sanatana Goswami, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not appreciate it that he tried to instruct him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that one can never please the Lord, right, if one is not observing Vaishnav etiquette. Right. This Vaishnav etiquette simply means that we become dependent on spiritually superior persons. Right. Such superiority can be of different kinds. It can be due to seniority in years. That can never be overlooked. There must always respect must be given. Or it can be due to seniority in service, or seniority in ashram, seniority in responsibility. And all these things are to be considered. But a person himself will, generally a Vaishnava, will take the humble position. So this is one way of tadiyanam samarchanam, of getting the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Or padasevanam. It is that padasevanam also means to serve the devotee of the Lord. Oftentimes people are asking, like, padasevanam, you know, how do you meditate? What does it mean to be always fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. But if we actually read in the seventh canto the purport of the ninefold process of devotional service, then we can see that Padasevanam is explained, as I just tried to summarize it. So, these are the means by which we get the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot actually approach Krishna. It is not possible by our own determination, or that we are simply going to be devotees. We may advance, but the true advancement is to act on the desire of the Vaishnavas. And gradually, one must become surrendered. It may take time to make oneself dependent upon the devotee of the Lord. But this is actually the process. And every devotee is again dependent on other devotees. And in this way, the disciplic succession actually continues. And it is not only as it is found in the beginning pages of the Bhagavad Gita, but parampara also comes through so many devotees, from senior to junior. It is not that we need people who are at least not on the lower levels, right? Not on the common level, that we need devotees who are demanding seniority. Over others, just on the strength of having joined a little earlier or something like that. That is not required. But seniority must be given, right, in particularly to those who have done a lot of service for Krishna and pleased him over a longer period of time. It's a condition for getting the mercy of Krishna, as that story of Jagannanda Pandit and Sanatan Goswami is illustrating. I'll leave it like this. I'm tired. What to do? Still not in shape. So, any questions? Well, Lokanath Goswami told Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that he didn't want to be included in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said that he didn't like it if they would give his describe his life and activities there. He considered himself fallen and not qualified. So he was very strict like that. And he was like kind of a person who was keeping himself quite aloof in that way. He wouldn't accept disciples, except Narottam Das Thakur. That was only because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Lokanath Goswami to do so in a dream. And still then he had his doubts. And then only he did it after Narottam had offered extraordinary service to him. If samadhi can be found in the Radha Gokulananda temple, along with the samadhi of Narottam Das Thakur, and Lokanath Goswami is sometimes mentioned to be the seventh Goswami. Although we have a book called Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the seventh Goswami. He's also sometimes referred to as the seventh Goswami, but also sometimes Lokanath Goswami. So he was one of the great Goswamis in Vrindavan, who was one of the stalwarts that were carrying forward the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of the most exalted Vaishnavas of his time.
like that. We are remembering Lokanath Goswami.
Still, the six Goswamis were most prominent. They were, Rupa and Sanatan were most favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They received so much direct mercy from him that everyone was just looking at Rupa and Sanatan at that particular time. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the devotees would go from Bengal to Vrindavan, they would always immediately go and see Rupa and Sanatan. And when the devotees came back, everyone was asking, how were Rupa and Sanatan? What did they say? What did they do? How did they act? So also, Lokanath Goswami was taking a submissive role in relation to Rupa and Sanatan. So, any question? I'm saying that Srila Prabhupada did not want us to do it.
Huh? So was it performed at that time? Was it so much performed at that time that Rupa Goswami considered it necessary to describe it? We should do it for, we can also do it for our spiritual purpose.
No. 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 That's exactly, I mean, I don't like this statement because it's exactly what I said that we should not do. I mean, the class has spent 5 minutes, you know, elaborating that we should not do, and then you're coming back that we can. The answer is no, no, no. Prabhupada said no. So then I don't understand why you're arguing on the point. I'm saying Prabhupada said no. So I said whatever quote is there, I said that the instruction of the acharya is more important than some detail in the scripture. That's all I said. I didn't say that it was applicable to that time. I said it's a detail in the scripture, but according to Kaladesha Patra, the acharya may decide that something is not applicable for a particular point in time. And that's exactly how it is. So therefore, if there's any Ganesh worship in your immediate environment, then kindly retire, Lord Ganesh. Please. I'm sorry to... I'm a little irritable with the sensitivity of the head. Sorry for that. Huh? Any other point? Yes.
What is your opinion of establishing Shiva in some Ishwan temples as Rashi Guru?
Shaligram Shilas. Shaligram Shilas. Shiva. No. Well, I mean, Srila Prabhupada did not ever do so. And we see something at the yoga pit, right, in Mayapur. But personally, I am not in favor, right, because Srila Prabhupada didn't do it. However, if one of the senior Vaishnavas in our movement felt that it is okay, then I will certainly not disagree with that decision. But I don't think that we should make it a general policy. Yeah. I think in that particular project there's very much an attempt to create like the atmosphere of Vrindavan. It's a very big place. So maybe in that spirit it can be there. But I think it should not become a common practice. Matanya Devas Rayanai. There's no need for it.
But when somebody goes to a parikram or a lavadan,
No, it's not. It's not. Yes, but actually it's not. But the inside story is, it's not. The inside, yes, I know. You can do that, and you can pray to him like a Vaishnava. But, you know, it's just enough to just take your japa mala and go straight to Govardhan, full flat, and just chant Hare Krishna. And there's no impediment. There's nothing between you. You know, so there is the main purpose of performing parikrama in Vrindavan is to simply become deeply absorbed in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. One gets the mercy. It is not a ritualistic performance. So there's no doubt one can pray to Lord Shiva and get the mercy. But there, and if one can nicely approach him like a Vaishnava. Yeah. But there is a risk that we also may develop some other attachments and another way of attachment. So, if you do it properly in the mood of respecting Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, then we can do it. Right? It's not forbidden. But if you don't do that, right? It's not that like now you have transgressed some standard or some requirement. You see the point? It's not like, oh, your parikram was just useless because you did not pray in this particular way. It is not required. No.
What about Lord Chaitanya's offering in that?
What?
About Lord Chaitanya's offering
Pinda, that's Vishnupad. That was Vishnupad. That is the Gaya, that is the lotus feet of Vishnu. You go see. You go to Gaya, you go to that place. I went there. Big print of Lord Vishnu in the rock. That's where they offer. So that's Vishnu. It's called the Vishnupad Mandir. Gaya. Giving them prasadam of Lord Vishnu. Very nice. So that's nothing else. No. No. Shraddha ceremonies are okay. But also not required. Devarsi bhutaptrininam pitrinam. Akinkurunayam rinisarajan. 11th canto. No need to worship the devas, no need to offer anything to the forefathers or all these things. No need. The thing is this, is that we think that when we are introducing more complex ritual, we think that then we're getting more advanced, you know. But we should understand that the chanting of the holy name, which is the simple and basic ritual, is the most powerful one and includes everything else. So the best thing is simply to chant the holy name. No, just chant the holy name. It is the most powerful means for purification. So there's no need to for all these things. If the same time that is spent with all these small things, see, it may divide our faith. That is my objection. Why am I so adamant? Because we tend to become attached to anything and everything that we associate with. So if we worship the demigods in some way, there is a great risk we become attached to that. Yeah. And that we gradually become dependent. We think that like, if I don't take the blessings of Lord Shiva, I cannot chant. You know. Yeah. So this is not required. We can just chant. Take the blessings of Krishna. Take the blessings of the holy name. Holy name doesn't depend on anything. That's my point. So it is safer to just stick with the holy name. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur said, Mat Anya Devas Rayanai. But I'm not speaking of disrespecting the demigods. And if in the course of our parikrama we are going to some temple and there is a Shiva Lingam, we offer respect. There's no problem there. And if we do go there to offer respect, it is also not a problem. But it is not a requirement. That is my point. I'm not saying that if we go in the right mood, it's not wrong, but it's not a requirement. Any other question?
So then there's no need to offer prasadam to the when your father dies or something?
No, it's no need. There's no need. Just by being a devotee is enough, right? It is Prabhupada based our movement, right, on chanting Hare Krishna, and said that superseded everything else on the strength of that verse in 11th canto of Bhagavatam. And that at the time of that Advaitacharya was still doing the Shraddha, we see, but then he used the Shraddha to give the prasadam, right, to feed, instead of the brahmanas, to feed Haridas Thakur. So he also used it as an established custom, you know, to kind of glorify Sankirtan. Yeah. So Sankirtan is the supreme activity beyond all that. Sorry for my strong statements, which are due to a headache and strain in the head, but the substance is certainly true. See, I guess every devotee has a choice, right? Every devotee can decide, like, for himself, let me worship Lord Shiva as a devotee of Krishna. And I am following in the footsteps of those who, whenever in the course of our activities we come across Lord Shiva without looking for him, but if we encounter him, I'll offer him respects. But I will never go looking for Lord Shiva. I'll just spend my time looking for Krishna. And I'm not so inclined to pray to Lord Shiva or Ganesh or any other form to take away any obstacles. I'll just pray to Krishna. I'll pray to Lord Nityananda. I'll pray to Lord Chaitanya. Right? It's safer. Right? Because every time, every action leaves a little bit of attachment in the heart. And I've only one interest, to increase the attachment to Lord Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, to Lord Nityananda, and nobody else. Right. So, why take the chance? That's my point. Yeah. Let's not even try to attract anyone other than Krishna. And when we have Krishna, then everyone will be attracted. You see, Krishna consciousness doesn't mean there's no need for a technique. The real way to attract anyone in the world is to have Krishna, because he can attract. So if we are just increasing our attachment to Krishna, then we'll have Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.